One of the trends we've seen in recent years is the IRS moving more toward a data-driven approach to exam case selection. And most of the data that the IRS is using and examining or selecting organizations for examination is derived from Form 990. And some of those tripwire questions I mentioned in previous slides, we don't know for sure, but we're pretty sure that some of those at least are among these search queries that the IRS is using. But the search queries are dynamic. They use different data points from different questions. And they're fluid. They're changing from time to time in response to exam agents' input and what works and what doesn't work. Interestingly, though, in the most recent accomplishments letter that the IRS generated, it shows that only about 25% of new exams in the most recent tax year were derived from these 990 search queries. Whereas a few years ago, that number was closer to 50%. Not sure why that is. I suspect that it's partly because the IRS found that some of those 990 queries weren't really fruitful. They didn't result in any changes, any tax or other changes that the organizations were required to perform. Another reason might be that the IRS receives a lot of complaints, a lot of referrals for exam. And the number of exams resulting from referrals increased this year as well. There's also a compliance project, compliance strategy bucket, that the percentage of exams in that bucket has been increasing. The change rate of all those buckets or categories I just mentioned is highest for 990 data-driven exams. It's between 85 and 90%. When we say change rate, we mean the percentage of examinations resulting in either tax or an IRS letter saying you need to make certain changes in your operations to stay compliant, or some other type of change. 85 to 90%, fairly high. Let's move on to the next slide. There are things you can do both to preclude exams, or at least to minimize the risk that you'll be examined by the IRS, and to prepare for an exam so that if the IRS does come knocking, you're prepared and you can handle that exam more efficiently and likely receive either a no change letter or just an advisory letter with no tax owed. Having good record keeping is important, being able to support everything that you report in your 990 return with substantial documentation, following best practices and procedures. And if you want to, take a look at what the IRS exam agents are looking at, their audit technique guides, which give them instructions on what to audit for certain areas. You can find those online. It's publicly available. IRS has converted a lot of its old IRM examination modules to audit technique guides. Just like the IRMs, you can find those online. And that will give you some sense of what records you should keep, what issues IRS is most interested in, give you kind of an inside view of how they work. And moving on to the next slide, if you actually do get examined, the IRS has a specific procedures that their exam agents need to follow in the course of the exam. They're required to give you notice of the examination, and then you would contact the agent to set up a mutually agreeable time for an initial substantive meeting. IRS will issue information document requests for the examination. And all of those requests should have some reasonable nexus to whatever the issue or issues are being examined. And you can ask the examination agent, what is the purpose of this question? How does it relate to the issue under exam? And sometimes the agent will refine the question. Sometimes they ask for the kitchen sink. And if you hone them in on the relationship between those questions and the issue, sometimes they'll refine and narrow the question, ask for less information, or sometimes they'll throw out questions. That's unusual, but possible. When you meet with the IRS examination agent, you should have a friendly rapport. They're human too. They're just trying to do their job. And they want to do it in the right way. And you can help them by communicating clearly, providing the information that they desire, that they need, as long as it's not overly burdensome to you or unreasonable. It's good to establish the parameters of the exam, the scope of the exam. Make sure you know what they're interested in, what issues they're examining, and why. They're supposed to tell you those things. If for some reason you find that they're recalcitrant or continuing to be unreasonable, you can ask to talk to their manager. You have the right to do that. And usually the manager, talking to the manager will help in clarifying things and sometimes reducing the scope of the questions so they're more reasonable. There are a few possible outcomes to an exam. No change letters, that's ideal. Proposed changes, which could be you need to file a 990 or file an amended 990 or adopt a certain policy to minimize the risk of noncompliance in the future. Revocation is kind of the nuclear option. We don't see many of those, frankly, but occasionally. After the exam, if you're not satisfied with the result, if say there's either revocation or say a lot of UBTI assessed because, for instance, the organization has had a history of losses, the IRS doesn't think it's adequately demonstrated profit motive or a reasonable basis for allocating expenses, then there's a number of options for you. You can just accept their assessment, pay the tax, or you can request a fast-track settlement